The growth of meatpacking plants in the rural Midwest has created an unforeseen challenge: children in need of food, housing, and education. In part one of our series, we told you about a small Missouri town whose schools are the safety net for the kids of workers at a Tyson poultry plant. In part two of Harvest Public Media's series, In the Shadows of the Slaughterhouse, Peggy Lowe reports from Garden City, Kansas. City leaders there have built a strong grassroots network that has embraced their town's cultural change and its youngest citizens.
Sister Janice Thome apologizes for her gringa Spanish and is welcomed into the Hernandez home. Like most days, Sister Janice is working out of her office, a 2003 brown Ford Focus with a backseat piled high with paperwork and a prayer book. She drives around this meatpacking town out on the plains of southwest Kansas, delivering furniture here, paying a utility bill there, teaching classes. Today she stops to talk to Elizabeth, a 16-year-old whose father has worked at the Tyson beef plant as long as she's been alive. Elizabeth, her brothers, and her mother, Maria, joined him here from Mexico 10 years ago. She translates for her mom.
The reason that we came was because they gave us the opportunity, you know, to get our papers and have the opportunity to come over here and stay with them.
Elizabeth talks a lot about opportunity, which she says was in short supply in Mexico. Her family has done well in Garden City, thanks to her father taking lots of overtime at La Planta and her mother's job at the high school. And that's often true for many of the more established families here, the immigrants and refugees who have streamed into town since the first beef packing plant was built here were lured by the promise of steady, if brutally hard, work and a better life. Garden City welcomed these newcomers, building a well-organized network of social services, offering English classes, food banks, job help, shelters, and a refugee center. Sister Janice.
That's kind of the ambience that we walked into when I came in 96, is this whole set of people that say, okay, who's here is here, and these are their needs, and what can we do to answer them?
And that surprised you?
Well, it's the first time I've ever met that kind of thing.
Since 1980, the newcomers have doubled the population to roughly 30,000 and have turned a white cow town into a cultural crossroads where minorities are the majority. Still, despite all the services the local network provides, there are problems endemic to any place with lots of workers who make low wages. Over at the school district offices, the weekly food bank delivery arrives. The starting pay at the Tyson plant is $13.50 an hour, better than a job at, say, Walmart for $7 an hour. But it's still difficult to support a family. The district provides two meals a day and sends supplies home for the weekend. Requests for food stamps are up 230% in the last 5 years, and three-quarters of the students get free or reduced lunch.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
If life is better here for the more established families in town, it's still tough for the latest to arrive. In this newcomer class at Florence Wilson Elementary School, kids from kindergarten to fourth grade are separated from the rest of the school temporarily so they can assimilate into their new lives. Most of the Somali and Burmese children in Garden City were born in a refugee camp, so they've never seen basic plumbing, let alone a pencil. Here in Kay Thompson's class, there are 14 kids who speak four languages: Vietnamese, Burmese, Somali, and Spanish. She starts with the basics.
School terms, simple directions that they will need in a classroom. You know, how to put away your book, what is the pencil, what is the notebook. I'll say, go to the door. They don't know what the door is.
This is called wagon wheel. And you can see that it includes some very halfway decent trailers, but also some very sketchy ones.
Sister Janice drives by one of the many mobile home parks on the outskirts of town. She says the biggest challenge here is housing. More than 4% of the school kids were homeless last year. They stay with family members bunched up in small apartments, or they camp out at the many rundown motels, which are closer to the dusty cattle feedlots at the edge of town. Far from those feedlots is Garden City's Main Street, a pretty line of well-tended homes and storefronts. Some 10 years ago, Tyson was asked to help the city pay for a statue of children of different cultures playing. The company declined, saying the beef business wasn't making money at the time. But as Tyson continues to recruit refugees and their families here, they will be met as Garden City always greets its newest citizens. After all, the city's logo is a yucca with a rainbow of colors signifying its many cultures, along with its motto, "The world grows here." Peggy Lowe, Harvest Public Media.